Hello, everybody. Quest Live, Wednesday's podcast. What's happening out there? I hope you guys enjoyed the show last night. If you watch boat shows, I did not watch Beyond Oak Island. We were on Discord for over an hour. Had a great time on Discord, and you guys got to come over and join once in a while. I put it up for only our membership. It's only good for 7 days. And the link is there in our Facebook group. It's not for the world, but for members. And from Canada is our synopsis queen, Judy. Hello, Judy.
Hello, John. Hi, everybody. Good to be here, as always, guys, and I'm excited about tonight. And I thought last night's show was excellent.
Got to say our hellos here. Here's Becky. Carol. I think that's Judy N. Kurt. Dean is in the house. Matt's in the house. Ray Ray's in the house. Scott, Sydney's our audio technician remotely. She can hear us and see us. Phillip's in the house. Joanne's in the house. And Wade's in the house. Everybody's coming in, Judy. Everybody's coming in.
Oh, good. I haven't picked you up on Facebook yet. I got you on YouTube, but.
Yeah. Jeff M's in the house. Neil. Hello, Neil. Doreen. Good crowd here tonight. Good crowd. There's Henry. Yep, Matt. England, you're behind on the episodes. Even says season 10, some places haven't started. So have a sneak peek at our group. I mean, it's all spoilers, but whatever you need to do, you do. You know what I mean? Hello, Troy. How are you? I'm feeling a little bit better. I'm still on like cough medicine or like cough drops. My head's still plugged up a little bit. I'm a little foggy for some reason, but that's normal for me, I guess. Hello, Ashley.
You don't sound foggy, John.
Well, you don't realize, Judy, for this 1 hour that I'm on right now, I work 23 hours to speak and be my best for you guys for 1 hour.
Oh, well, we thank you so much for doing that.
Judy. Hello, Darlene. Hello, Caroline. Yep. So let's get our thank yous in there. So by 7 o'clock, we can start our spiel. What do you think, Judy?
Sounds like a good plan, John.
Yep. The same old, same old.
Got lots to talk about tonight.
Yep. Yep. Got to thank our YouTube supporters on the daily. If I had a live show every day, I would still mention these guys because you guys and you members are my group and our group together. So that's why I do it every day. I want to thank.
You're important, guys. Yep. You're important.
The Knights and the Captains and the Marshals and the Masters. Noah and Pirate and Dina and Caroline and Virginia and the other Barbara and the other Barbara and Starlene and a person and Jeff and Curtis and Janet and Kelly and Becky and Josh, Mark. Sandollar, Roxy, Jazdeo, and Wayne for all their support. Some of them are like 15, 18 months, 21 months, 23 months. You guys being with me so long, I appreciate each and every one of you, even the Knights. They contribute what they can, and I thank them so much. And Judy, since I have you live, thank you for what you do. You know what goes into all this craziness of a podcast. I thank you so much, Judy.
You're welcome, John, and I love it. Can never wait to get here.
Yep, and of course, we got to thank the professor, Daniel Spino, as gets my head spinning if it's coins or or metal objects or historical facts. He's got my brain almost exploding pretty good in 2003. I thank you so much, Daniel, the historian professor on the Quest channels all around the world. Daniel, thank you so much, guy.
Yeah, Daniel's right in there all the time. He came right back last night with the info on that coin.
Yep, we're going to discuss that. Him on the coin and this other guy had two things on the coin. We'll do it after our synopsis and then do the screenshots. Also, always got to thank Osprey Muyan. You know, he's laying in the nest up there on top of that big old tree or wherever he goes in the wintertime. But he'll be flying back. So I always want to thank him for what he did for us the whole summer long. Muyan! Holy Muyan! Thank you so much, guy.
Thank you, Muyan. We sure needed that this summer.
I want to thank my moderators. I hope Tammy's doing okay. You got Judy, Daniel, Starlene, Michelle, Kathy, BC, and Tanya from Portugal. She watches the ship when we're sleeping, Judy.
Yes, she does, doesn't she?
Yep. And to our lifetime contributor that I miss a lot on our live shows and another factual person that knew it all, Chris Dona. Got to thank my Oak Island. What?
I'm missing too a lot.
Yep. I want to thank my main members. They all come from my Quest Facebook group and my YouTube channel and the Twitter channel and the Rumble channel. And also to our Anchor Audio Podcast, Judy. Today we went over 20,500 plays today.
Wow. Wow. Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
Yep. And that's, you know, on Apple Podcasts, Google, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon, and all the rest of them that listen to us audio-wise. But Spotify, I do download videos of us and things I do on video side. They do have the option to watch a video of us, Judy.
Oh, right, which is great. Good.
Yep. And also,
it's better when they can see it.
Yep. But also, you guys, this week we hit a big milestone. I really didn't realize, because of my COVID brain, on YouTube. I thank you so much out there in the whole world. Do you know how difficult it is to have a podcast, which this is all happening because I love the show. Not that I did it for, I want to be known and all that. It's just something I did on Facebook to make sure everybody sees what the program is and what the swamp is and what the money pit is, to get 1 million views. I'm like blown away. My COVID brain is just blown away. I thank everyone out there and continuing to thank you for watching, you know, the podcast from 1 million on and more views, you know, Judy?
Right, John. It's great, and I can't thank everybody enough. I know that you are extremely happy with that, and it makes all your time worthwhile.
Right, right. So now if we can get a sponsorship, that would be great to help with financing. The financing for the podcast was complete for 2022, Judy. I want to thank you and the rest of the contributors that contributed as much as they could to make this show run. It was about $900 with all the licensing and all the editing and all the video stuff that goes along with this. So we made it for another year, guys. Just hope nothing big breaks down, you know, Judy?
Yes, John. We'll keep our fingers crossed on that one.
So I want to thank you for that, guys. We're good for the season 2023. All licenses are paid. And obviously they always go up, you know what I mean?
Everything does.
And everything's like, well, it's for that license to do that kind of editing for your YouTube or this or that, it's not as good as when you pay for an editing that's like $120 a year, you know?
Right.
And I look for the easiness of it. I don't do anything on the free side, and it's so complex that it's too hard for me. I got to do easy peasy, you know, Judy?
Right. Me too, John. The easier, the better for me.
All righty. So, like, last night was A Damning Clue, season 10, episode 9, which Judy has the synopsis ready to go. Next week, season 10, episode 10, is called The Blob. Season 10, episode 11, after that, is called Oh Well. And season 10, episode 12, that's February 7th, Beware of the Blob. So I don't know, Judy, if the blob is that little area that Dr. Spooner says, well, if we're going to find where all these minerals and gold is coming from, this red blob on top of the squared graph map that you saw last night for the promo next week might be called the blob. What do you think?
I don't know what to think, but I know I'm looking forward to finding out.
Yep. Yep. Like I said, after we do your synopsis, we got this Micah Harris that wrote up something about the coin with pictures. And, of course, the professor with his determination on the coin also to get on detail with that coin. So we got some information to pass on to you guys once we show the screenshots. There's Ashley. I want to know what the blob is. Yeah. Yeah.
Kathy wants to know, was that a Japanese horror movie, much like The Crawling Eye?
The Blob?
There was a movie years ago called The Blob, though.
Yeah. 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 And as far as things when they break down, I always look for remanufactured stuff. But when you have so much information and so much video podcasts that have to go out and everything, it takes up a lot of, what's it called, storage. So it's not really made for what I'm doing. Like a TV station here, Judy, you know what I mean?
Right, John. Yeah, I got you. Might have to go to a TV station if you keep adding more.
And Deborah says, why didn't they send a camera down when they got all the wood at 39 feet? Because they knew it was a shaft and the camera would only show wood all the way down. That was a shaft, if I remember right.
Yes,
yep.
You do.
Hello, Jan. How are you today? But that's something new, Judy. They're realizing, well, we're in a shaft. We're not in the tunnel. Well, bingo, there's something new.
Right. Well, you can tell they were very surprised to find a shaft in that spot. And Daniel does say, I believe the blob is the red area on the grid.
Yeah.
It looks like a blob.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to really bring that up today because we got to save something for the pre-show next Tuesday, you know, Judy?
Right on, yeah.
By the time the pre-show is coming, I'm already for the week after that week.
Well, you do great on the pre-show. Gets everybody hyped up and ready.
There's the pirate. Just too much debris, pirate. Just too much debris down there. You know what I mean? That's why they only put a camera down there. Camera first, sonar second, to see if they even got room to do anything down in any of these old tunnels or old caverns or whatever. You know what I mean, pirate? What's this Ray say? Okay, me and Ray. The blob is a natural gold and silver deposit in the limestone and granite that is geologically possible. You might think I'm wrong, but just an opinion. Yeah, I take on all opinions here. Could be anything, Ray. But I still think, even though we got the blob, even though we have gold signatures, I still say the money pit is a done deal.
I agree with you on that one. I think they're about to find something on lot 5 myself. That's my opinion.
Yeah, or another entrance or whatever through the swamp or something, because, again, we got to know the drill pattern. And from the past years of all the shafts, I think there was 49 different shafts and more drilling, that they would have hit something and came up with some kind of gold or silver or something out of one of those holes from that whole area to the blob. But then you know what they tell us? They just missed it by this much. They just missed it by an inch, you know?
Seems like that's the way it happens, if it's even there.
Yeah, hi, Dave. You up, Jen? So, you know, and I agree with them. You know, if you find something and you drilled and you got that area, you do come up with a coin or something, then you hone in on that area. That's all there's to it, you know?
Right. And that seems to be what they're doing, thank goodness.
Until then, we're just poking holes, making maps. Saw a lot of maps yesterday, Judy. My mind was going crazy. Saw a lot of maps.
Yes, we did, and I thought about you. I thought John will be happy tonight.
Squirrely lines and circles and squares and straight lines all over the place. Right off the bat, too. I didn't even have to wait. Right in the beginning, boom, we're in the research center. Boom. I'm going, oh, my lordy, 40.
Yeah, that was a surprise, because usually we start out in the money pit.
Yeah. So we got to see. All takes time. Like I'm saying, when they had the Muyan, I figure, well, since they're waiting for the Muyan, they got to go to all different targets. So they went to the Yellow Hatch. Now that's in a delay because of permits for mining. So imagine what happens if they actually find something, or if something was there, what kind of delays there would be on that. You know what I mean?
Right. It's hard to say. I hope that that permit for the wall at the head of the swamp doesn't take long.
Yep, a lot of shafts that they send down, some of them they were not mapped. But I'm pretty sure if you go back, even on my group, that Charles Barkhouse, when he was, you know, he does the tours, Judy, on the money pit there?
Right, yes.
Even before we put in 500 drill holes and the caissons, I'm pretty sure he said 49 shafts that they know of and thousands of holes. Even before those guys, you know, put the pad on, you know, that pad before they put the pad on. Hello, Sand
right.
Dollar. Scottish, well, no.
That doesn't leave much room with no holes, does it?
No. Scottish, it's only me. It might be my copycat clone YouTube channel, but it's only me right here. That's it. The Scottish Wildman says, do you have two streams going on? I like that. All righty. Yep, Charles with the Mason hat. I hear you guys. I hear you. But like I said, the Muyan technology is supposed to show us what the heck to do. And then now they're pointing out the blob where the minerals are. Well, if there's something there, wouldn't the Muyan show that, you know?
Yes, it should, John. I can't wait to see some of the pictures from that.
Yep, and we know that is coming up on the in the later of the season. So we know information came through. We know information is on to the positive side. What kind of positive side, guys? We have no idea, you know?
Right. Wait and find out.
Yep. All righty. Judy, how's your voice sound?
Well, I think it's not too bad.
All righty. Going to find your picture, and we'll get Judy right in here with her synopsis. We can talk about yesterday's show. Let me find your picture here. All right, Judy, your picture's up. When you're ready, You're all set to go. Thank you, Judy.
Thank you, John, very much. So, guys, we're season 10 and at episode 9 already, The Damning Clue. A new morning has arrived on Oak Island, and the team meets in the research center to decide where to go next in the Money Pit area. Craig points out that the 5 boreholes they have just dug all point to a tunnel 103 feet down. This is the first open tunnel they have found to date. They decide to drill a new borehole called D17.5 to find out where this tunnel goes. This tunnel is just 20 feet from the garden shaft and could lead to an offset chamber. Rick says, "Let the science speak." Later that morning, as Terry and Charles oversee the drilling of borehole D17.5, on lot 5, Gary and Rick are metal detecting. Rick digs up a heavy piece of metal that is shaped like an acorn and just a bit larger than one. Neither of them know what it is, so they bag it for testing. It is crude, so Gary believes it to be man-made, and it is 30 feet from lot 4, where they found the Bell metal last year. This metal was also used on cannons. Next, Rick digs up a small musket ball that looks like it was never fired. Gary says it's from the 1500s and wonders if it is related to the coin and tools found here last week. The following day finds the team in the war room to get the ground penetrating radar test results that Stefan took at the head of the swamp last week on lot 10. The data shows several anomalies in a linear line, 3 feet and 8 feet down. Could this be the wall of a dam? They will now get Tom Nolan involved, since this is on his land, so he can decide if he wants to dig. Back in the Money Pit area, the drilling of borehole D17.5 is continuing, and a core from 39 feet down hits the table. To their surprise, the core is full of wood. And since they are looking for a tunnel 70 feet down, it makes no sense to find wood at 39 feet. Craig arrives and Terry shows him the wood and says he thinks this could be the edge of a shaft and not a tunnel at all. Marty, Rick, and Billy arrive and are updated, and looking at the wood closely, they see it has been cut with a pit axe. These axes came into use in Roman times. So does this shaft predate the finding of the Money Pit in 1795? Greg points out that this shaft does not show up on any of their maps. So they must dig to the bottom to see what is there, and Craig will do more research. That afternoon, Tom Nolan and the team have arrived on lot 10 at the head of the swamp. Tom has given the okay to dig so they can see if they can find any clues of a dam so they can get a permit to do a big dig. Doug shows a spot on Zena's map that points out a dam, and Tom wants to know if his dad did find one here. Steve shows them that the anomalies found are 12 feet by 15 feet, and he has determined the center point so they can dig there. Billy digs 3 feet down, and Gary detects and finds what looks like an old iron pin that could have been used in the building of a wall. They will put it in the XRF machine for testing. Billy then points out a piece of shaped wood. Then Gary picks it up, and it is obvious it is covered with oil. From about 400 BC, oil was used on wood to keep it from deteriorating in water, as on a ship. Billy digs down another 8 feet, and they find logs and shaped planks, and they can also see layers of rock and clay in the hole. Rick says they have enough data to apply for a permit. Hopefully, they won't have to wait too long. Back at the money pit, a core from borehole D17.5 hits the table from a depth of 109 feet and is full of wood. Craig wants the wood dated as soon as possible. They did not expect to find a shaft here. Is it searcher or original? And is it connected to the money pit? More homework is needed. Later that afternoon, some of the team have gathered in the interpretive center to have Sandy Campbell, old coin specialist, evaluate the piece of coin found on lot 5 last week. They show Sandy the test results, and as he examines it, he can make out characters that look familiar to him. Sandy says that since the coin has arsenic in it, it is probably pre-1500. He informs them that in this period, it was not unusual to cut a coin for partial payment of a bill. He then stuns the team as he tells them the characters are definitely Roman, and he believes it dates from 300 BC to 500 AD. Could the coin be related to the Portuguese Roman road found in a swamp in 2020? Did a Templar drop this coin on Lot 5, or could there be treasure buried on Lot 5? Rick asks Sandy to please look into the coin further as more research is needed. Stay tuned next week, fellow acorns, for some important answers. And in the meantime, stay safe, please.
Thank you so much, Judy. Very professionally done, as usual. Great job.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
It will be posted in hard copy text on our group, The Quest of Oak Island, and also on the community tab that the people who are members see it on YouTube. It doesn't go out to the world, just the members on YouTube and the members in our Quest group.
Thank you, Sydney. She says I have a soothing voice. I've always thought John's was soothing, but thank you.
Soothing.
Soothing. You have a soothing voice.
All right. Let's see here. Let me get into some of this here. Hold on. Let me get you off of here, Judy.
Good idea.
All right. And boom, there I am. Did I scare you guys?
No.
All right. So as we ended that synopsis with the coin, the professor, Daniel Spino, who's the factual historian, dropped this little note in our group. And what I think is important, I'll say it on YouTube because my group is private, and that's how we like to keep it. But things that are important that I want everybody to know, because people on YouTube don't go to Facebook and such. You know what I mean, Judy?
Yes, exactly, John.
So the professor wrote this. Spoiler alert. If you haven't watched last night's episode, this is the current update. On tonight's show, Sandy Campbell revealed the coin that was found in last week's show as one-third of its original size. He stated, in his opinion, that it is a Roman style and could be from 300 BC to 600 AD, which is almost a 1,000-year range, as Judy said. Now, keep in mind, guys, if it was during the reign of the Roman Empire, there was a huge area with many different spots where a coin could have been originated. This also could include the Byzantine Empire time period as well. In my opinion, this is the professor, as I stated in my previous post, I believe that the Carthaginians would be the prime suspects because of their naval prowess and trading empire for a direct dropping. If this was later in time, it could have been part of a coin collection or discarded old booty. Research updates to come with this professor. So if you want to join my group and you haven't joined the Quest of Oak Island, Daniel Spino is our main man, and he digs deep. And don't stop digging till we get the answers, Judy.
No, he never does. He keeps coming up with them, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm not much of a researcher.
Yep. And this is showing him, like, on the left-hand side of this coin. I guess it's supposed to be some kind of tree. And this is supposed to be some kind of person holding onto a leg. And we got another post. It was from M-I-C-A-H, Macaque. And I won't post his last name because, he didn't say to, so I just don't want to get him out there publicly, you know what I mean?
Right, John, I think that's Micah.
Micah.
Yes.
Okay, Micah.
Micah.
And this is what he presented. This is in my group, the Quest of Oak Island, but I wanted to give it to you guys. If you see the coin on the right and the coin in the left, this is what he's saying this coin is. He says, this is the best view of the coin I've seen. Also, he says, it is also worn so smooth on the older coin as to likely never recover the exact mint, but this is the most definitely a AE2/3 fell temp Repartano tree or hut type coin. A barbarian figure being dragged by hands out of a tree or hut. You can see a hint of a mint mark, looks like an A, but the rest of the mint mark is gone on the coin that is worn out. So this is, I guess, Judy, the coin that would look that we're looking at, even though, you know, the other coin's so worn down.
Right, but it sure does look like it could be the same,
yep.
John.
And he says it's at least 1,650 years old, and the most 1,685 years old.
Wow.
So I want to thank him so much for this information. When I get that, I love it, and I love it to share it. Let me see what Daryl said here. Hold on. What did he say, Judy?
It hasn't come up on here yet.
Okay.
I believe they're different treasures from different time periods and occupying groups in various areas on the island. Some... No, my the captions are getting over top of that, John, so I can't see the rest of it.
Some may have been found, but I believe there is other treasure will still be found. Thank you, Daryl. Neil, Neil says, the coin expert says it's one-third of a coin. Yeah, it looks like one-half to me. Yeah, that's what I was wondering too, Neil. I was scratching my head. A third of a coin, that coin had to be huge. What do you think, guys out there?
Daniel says the problem is that there is a difference in size at the bottom where there is script. The Oak Island coin doesn't have room for script. Okay, Daniel. Thank you.
Yep. Hello, Lori. How are you? Hello, Tommy. Yeah, I hear you, Daniel. I hear you. I was looking at that script on the bottom there. That A-L-E-A. What could have been worn off that much? Maybe they cut that piece out and they made it round on the bottom. That's another piece of a coin that they had to sell a piece of the coin, and they knocked that part off and rounded it on the bottom so that A-L-E-X was sold for something. You know what I mean, Judy?
Right. It could be. Daniel says the tree size is different as well. If, in fact, that is a tree, still researching for a better match.
All right. But
Daniel thinks it is 1/3 of a coin.
Okay. Well, we love all the research out there. We show it all until we figure out what's going on. I like it. What do you think, Judy?
Oh, I this has really got me excited. To think that there's a coin of that age on Oak Island is absolutely stunning to me.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at also, with the A-L-E-X on the bottom, and then the wariness of the edges, then the tree. But we'll go for what we got now. When we get something better, we'll compare it to this. You know, at least we got something to compare it to something.
Right, exactly. And Daniel's on it.
Daniel's on it. You got it. Let me see here. See, and I'm looking on the bottom to look for the A. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I don't know.
I know I don't see it. Somebody else might, but I don't.
Yeah. So this is the mystery, right? More things to drive us crazy, guys. That's what they do to us. So,
yep, that is exactly what they do.
And also, it just gives us something more to research and something to find and something to compare to. At least you have something to compare to something instead of just nothing. You know what I mean?
Right. It does help a heck of a lot. Daniel says, if it is from the date 79 AD or before, it could be related to the pillaged treasure of Herculaneum, which was destroyed by Mount Vesuvius, at one time.
Daniel and Professor and Judy, these words are getting too big for me to pronounce.
I know, I just goofed that one up. So.
You're going to have Daniel be on the phone to pronounce these words, you know what I mean?
For sure.
The professor. All right.
Vesuvius. That's it. Vesuvius. It's a mountain.
Yep. Mount Vesuvius. Yep. So who knows if they were carrying it in their pouch for a good luck piece? Who the heck knows? You know what I mean, guys? How are you going to speculate on something like that? Some guy had it in his pouch. He dropped it out of his pouch when he was doing something on the island, walking by. Who the heck knows? You know what I mean? Yep, Gloria, yeah. It was a volcano. Yeah, it was a volcano, yep.
Yes, thank you. That word wouldn't come to me for some reason.
Just interesting how these coins get there. But it was visited by a lot of people, you know what I mean?
Right. We know there's been a lot of people on that island.
Go ahead.
It is suspected, Daniel says, that the Anson brothers were involved in pillaging some of these treasures and being involved with Oak Island. Remind us, Daniel, who's the Anson brothers again?
Right. We're just going to say that.
Yep, I remember the name.
Yep, Tammy, like the Chinese coin. I don't know how this crazy stuff is getting on there. That's all I want him to do is put Rustall's cabin up. That's all I'm asking for. Because I get more confused by the day. Then when they start jumping around, then my brain goes from Rustall's cabin to 10X to the blob to the swamp to the eye to the road to the dam. You know what I mean, Judy? I'm like, my head's just jumping all over the place.
Yes, John, it sounds like it, and I don't think you ever stop thinking about it.
You know, it's like, we got to X some things out here, guys. All right, let's go through some screenshots. You guys ready to go through some screenshots? If you liked the show last night, I liked the show last night.
I did, too. It kept me interested, John.
Yep.
And probably that's the first one that's kept me that interested this year.
Yep. Like Scott says, more data is needed. More homework is needed.
Right on.
And Neil says, a variety of coinage points to pirate activity. Yeah.
Daniel says, George Anson and Thomas Anson, who made the Shepherds of Arcadia Monument on their property, who many believe give the coordinates for Oak Island. Thank you, Daniel. I remember now.
We remember that with Corian and Christopher, remember?
Yes, yes.
All right, let's get to some screenshots here so we can discuss as we're going along. Here we go. Well, we start out in the research center. See you later, Renee. And they were getting all up to date where they wanted to drill. Yep, pirate jumping all over permit-wise. Who the heck knows?
I have noticed that Craig seems to be taking a bigger part this year, and that's nice to see.
Yep. He's going more from the dendro dates to a little bit more authoritative what's going on and what to do type of deal, you know?
Right. Yes. Yes. I'm happy to see it.
And here we are looking at all the worms on the map. And I thought it would be a good picture if they were all looking at this CAD map and just shaking their head back and forth. You know what I mean?
Right. I'd be saying, what? What is that?
You know, if it shows there's a big ship in the swamp, well, just go after that first. Is it there? Is it not there? Is it 50 feet deep? Is the permit? Check the stinking thing off. Now we're going towards the eye. Now about the stones around the eye, about the spring, about the blue clay. Holy 40, lordy 40, holy mooyan.
Oh, yeah. Daniel says Mount Vesuvius also destroyed Pompeii.
Yep. We see that all the time. They always show like a... the people frozen in time, and they put it on Facebook and stuff like that.
Right. Yes, I often see it. Mm. They're quite the pictures to see.
I like that stuff, but when it gets into scientific wormholes and aliens and all the rest of that stuff, I don't believe in any of that. Maybe a ghost here and there, maybe. But after that, I think it's all drummed up for production. You know what I mean? People believe in it. People believe they're trapped and going up in spaceships and out-of-body experience. Nah, I don't think so. And again, we get foggy pictures of that stuff too, Judy, so I don't even believe any of that stuff.
Yeah, the pictures are usually, although I have to admit lately, they've been getting a bit better.
It's probably our own scientific. Imagine what they did in 1950. And now it's 2023 that the technology they got nowadays. You know what I mean?
Right. Daniel says, no time travelers, John?
No time travelers in a seat to sit in a seat and go back in time. No curses. You make your own luck. You make your own curse. Nothing.
I agree with you on that.
So that's all for video games, not me. That's my own personal opinion, guys. That's why I don't go there.
And that's what it's all about, John. We each have an opinion, and we each are allowed to say what they are.
But you know what the things that interest me, guys? Lost gold shows, because they got a history of the gold. Finding Noah's Ark, religious things, or finding things through Christianity. Pirate ships that they find gold and treasures below the sea, or like how they found the Titanic. Explorable searches that are actually substantial, you know what I mean?
Right, I enjoy all of those too, John. And I haven't stopped thinking lately about the Ark of the Covenant. There is talk of a new temple being built in Israel, and they're going to need that Ark of the Covenant. So could it be on Oak Island?
Yep, could be. You know, I watch some of those, that the planes go down in the Devil's Triangle, Bermuda Triangle, you know, for physical evidence and stuff like that. But all the rest of it, wormholes and time travelers, and how do they cut these stones that are perfect? I have no idea.
Well, it's interesting to watch, and it keeps our old minds working.
Yep. So this is the layout here. You can get the process of the map by seeing where the garden shaft is to get your coordinates. And now you know up left to the garden shaft is where the blob is. So now
okay.
I'll be searching as you saw that blob in the promo. I'll put that on a chart and just see how many holes were dug around that blob. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
Or find out how far Dunfield's dig is coordinating towards the blob. So I got to put all that together yet. You know?
Right, exactly. Luann wants to know, does anyone think that there will be any more diving done? I am sure there will be at some point, Luann.
Yeah, we haven't even got the information from the remote sensor that did the whole bay out there yet. So we don't have any information from that yet either.
No, nothing.
Zero.
Scott says we're running out of squares. We are.
Yep, a lot of stuff. And you got to remember, guys, this is a 220-year-old mystery. You think these guys are going to find it in 10?
I think we, the Quest family, are going to be together for a while yet.
You know, depends on contracts, depends on the History Channel, depends on all the stuff.
Right.
But what we want to see is get everything back to normal, have the tours going, have everything get back to normal. That's what we want to see right now.
Yes, for sure.
And there were they're digging the five holes. And they were looking for that tunnel, Judy, and you see the conduit, that red conduit that's given power to the Muyan sensors off to the left.
Right. Okay, gotcha.
I hear you, Pirate. I always voice my opinion. You guys voice your opinion. They like instant feedback from our group, and boy, do I give them instant feedback, you know, Judy?
Right, for sure, John. I like to hear what people are thinking. I think that's important.
Yep. But see, the whole big thing is the big numbers. You know, it's ratings. So when they go on Tuesday night at 9 p.m. and they got 3 million views that are watching, And that's probably just the United States, not the reruns and not the things they start later in the UK and everything. They're not going to do anything until those ratings fall. And that's all it is. You know what I mean?
Right. I agree. I see Corian was saying that it just started in the Netherlands last week, I think.
Yep. You know, it just filters out from the USA, then it filters out to Europe, and it filters out whenever they get it, you know. I guess they got to buy it. I guess you got to buy the license to show it, you know.
Right, exactly. And I didn't know that, really, until I got involved with Quest and found out the Canadian History Channel is different from the American.
Yep. Remember that time they showed everybody's waiting for The Curse of Oak Island, and they showed a different program on?
Oh, yeah. I was here in Canada, and we were mighty upset, let me tell you.
It was the premiere of Oak Island, and they showed, I don't know, some kind of goofy movie or something that wasn't even on.
Yeah. Somebody forgot to download it, I guess.
Yep.
Oh, it was awful.
Unbelievable. So these are the drilling locations that Judy was saying, getting up to that L-15 there. We'd already know about the M16.25. That's where the stone was shown and the wood in that cavern, Judy, that void that had the wood in it.
Okay.
There's M16.25. And the L-15 is that we didn't see any wood really inside the cavern. We're just a cave, you know what I mean?
Right, yes.
Yep, Stacy, we don't know what's going on. They're looking for a 70-foot tunnel and a 100-foot tunnel, unexpectedly hitting a unknown shaft. Here we go back on lot 5. And they found a musket ball. There it'd be. Don't know if that's a pistol musket ball or a rifle. He said it was small, right, Judy?
Right, he did say that, yes.
So what do I know?
I know nothing about guns, so I'm no help.
Yep, here's Stefan. He's the guy with the ground-penetrating 3D radar. This is the main guy. And this is what it showed, 2 8-foot depths. But I think they went, I was talking to Scott and a bunch of people on Discord last night. You guys got to join us on Discord during the show. It's fantastic. I think they said they went down 11 feet, but I got to re-see it. Because if this says 2 8-foot depths, well, at 8 foot, they should have picked up something, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I thought they said in my synopsis I had that the first one was 3 feet down and then the next one 8 feet down, but I could be wrong on that.
Yeah. Got to look up that detail, but that's why they're getting a permit to dig it out. Get that long arm excavator over there and just dig her out, you know, Judy?
Right, and I can't wait.
And of course, it's running long, but this is only the center guy. Guys, Steve gave him a center point to go by. So you got all to the right and all to the left. This is just a center point they're going to dig out, Judy.
Right, just so they could find something that would enable them to get a permit. Well, Daniel says that was it, 3 feet and 8 feet.
Okay, I don't even see that. Okay, good going, Judy.
One must be on top of the other then.
Hmm. And here they are bringing the sausage roll to the table where they found that void. And the surprise, somebody asked me, why didn't they put a camera down at 39 feet? It's because the 6-inch hole was just all full of wood. They must be going down a vertical beam, Judy, that they'd just be going through wood all the time. So that's why they didn't have no camera to go down there.
Right, yes. Yeah, so they'd have to dig a bigger hole, right, to do that?
Well, that's all you'll see is wood. I mean, what are you going to see? Dark wood.
Right, that's true.
They know, and the diggers know, and the drillers know, if they punch through a void, they say, oh, my God, from 140 to 152, we had nothing. And then they'll put the camera down, you know what I mean?
Right, okay, gotcha, yeah.
If they're pulling up all this kinds of wood and debris, not yet, guys, not yet. And this is the map they had on the sausage table, but I couldn't make heads or tails out of it because I'm just looking for the garden shaft and where the blob would be to see if there's any past drilling in there. But Steve has all the information, so he already knows if there was only one hole drilled in there or Dunfield dug some of it out. He's got all that information, Judy.
Right, yes. And Rick did say, well, he was looking at the map, I don't know. He didn't know what to make of it either.
Nope, and this is the north end of the swamp, which obviously was a lot lower way back when, if it was in the 1200s, you know what I mean, Judy?
Right, yes, John, and that's interesting. I just can't get over the difference in the way that the swamp looks from that angle. We've never seen it from this angle before.
Right, and I would say, wouldn't the berm or the barrage or barrier be more closer to the beach? Because the water was more shallower?
Could the beach have formed after
sure.
they made the swamp?
Yeah, sure, sure. So say if it was 6 feet lower, you know, push that water away 6 feet, oh, you know, why would the swamp end right there?
Yes. Right.
Where he's kneeling. You see what I'm saying, guys?
Yes, I do.
That went through my head, and I just wanted to pass that along. And this is where it's at, Lot 10. It's part of Tom Nolan's parcel there, that red dot, showing you where they're at. And just take a look at this. If you can imagine the two drumlins, that'd be a pretty good swath of water going between both drumlins, Judy.
Right. Yes, there would be. It's great to see Tom Nolan involved. I'm glad that they do that always.
Nope. I mean, what's he going to say? No.
Right. Exactly. He wants to know, too.
So the anomaly is 12 foot by 15 feet. Yep.
Daniel says, on a map posted recently in the Quest group, it looks like a large fantail in the water just north of the swamp that would indicate a large deposit of spoils.
Yes, that LIDAR map was on for years. Years. Yeah, it looks like spoils. Yeah, it was just pushed out on the bottom. Yep, I agree. I've seen that map as long as I've been doing this. So they're saying the anomaly could be the dam. Interesting. They got to get the permit. This is another shot of this end of the swamp. That's a good photo of that, Judy, just to show you where they're at in this end. We never see this end of the beach here.
No, we never do, John. It's so nice to be looking at something other than the money pit area.
Right, the parking lot. We're sick of looking at the parking lot. Let's get out of there.
Right.
They're trying to tie in Xena's map that indicates a dam, and also something else in the promo for next week. They're trying to tie in something with Xena's map, which I'm looking forward to very, very closely, guys.
Me too, John. I think Xena was onto something, and I don't think she's been given her due yet. So I hope that they keep at it.
Then they find some oil, creosol. The heck is that doing on the wood? Preservative? I don't think it's burnt, because we'd come up with all kinds of charcoal there. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. And they said, John, it was oil, that it wasn't, that definitely wasn't creosol.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What did Scott say here? Let me get him on here. If the swamp was made, why not dig down and drill through the backfill to find the original sea floor sand? Scott, we can't find the 225-foot-long boat by 45 feet. And they drilled the swamp up. If you guys remember, they had a floating rig on the swamp. Please remind me. And that floating.
And they never did come up with anything, did they?
No, remember that floating rig that was floating on the swamp, and they had the drill rig on the swamp, and came up with nothing. So what's that tell you about the ship in the swamp?
Right. So what's there? What is that anomaly?
I hear you. Well, we can't get one thing done to go on to another. We got to put everything together and mishmash like a big mishmash potatoes. And it gets confusing. I mean, I'm getting confused, and I do this as a podcast, and they confuse me. So I can imagine somebody.
Right.
I can imagine somebody just learning now. What's this Templars? What's this thing? What's this bacon? What's going on here? You know what I mean?
Yes, it's got to be hard for people just coming in to it now. There's a lot of data to take in.
It's like, oh my lordy, 40. It's just becoming too much.
Well, I will give you kudos, John. You do remember more than you think you do. I can never get over what you remember that I don't.
I just got a PM. All right.
Okay. Yes.
About the coin. And I said it's up to 1,650 years old to 1,685 years old. We're getting warm, but older. Keep watching.
Oh, geez.
another hook. I thank my source. But I just got it just now.
Jeez. Thank you, whoever you are.
Yeah, we're getting warmer, but older. So it's older than 1,650 years old and 1,685 years old. Oh, you got it right from here. Right now, I got it. You got it right there. So Daniel, take that information and try to figure out what the heck is going on.
Yes, please, Daniel.
Kurt says the top of the dam is sitting at about 8 foot below sea level. And who knows about the other side where the road is, you know, Judy?
Right, yes.
I mean, you got to block off both sides to make the swamp closed off.
Yes.
And there's the map.
Oh, I hope they can get the permit. Please get the permit.
Yep, and here's the map. It says the dam. So they're tying that
and
in.
And we wondered, did we not, for a long time, what the dam meant. Now we know.
Yeah, but if the island wasn't one island, I always get this question for a thousand times. If the island wasn't one island back then in this years that this map was drawn, because they're not showing a dam on the other side of the swamp, okay?
Right.
I'm saying this was a plan, that the island was two islands, and this was drawn as a plan, like a blueprint of what they wanted to do to this island, and designed whatever they had to design to bury, whatever they had to bury in what part of the island. Do you guys understand what I'm saying?
I do, John. I think that makes perfect sense.
You know, they'll say, well, John, how can this be? This island's all one piece. Well, it wasn't one piece in 1147 or 1315 or wherever the heck the date was. I got COVID brain.
Right.
I can't think. I'm saying it was still two islands. This is a plan of what they wanted to do. Okay, the hatch is going to be here. The valve is going to be there. We'll put the triangle over here. We're going to enter here. The anchors, put the stones there. I mean, you got to have a plan to put these things around, right?
Right. And I hadn't thought about this, John. This is interesting.
You know, that's all I can think of. If it was two islands, why didn't they draw it as two islands?
Yes, exactly.
So that's what I come up, my own personal opinion again, guys, that it was a blueprint for what they're about to do. Now, that's all I can not come up with, but that's what I think it is.
Oh, I think you could very well be right. And concerning the coin, Daniel says, looking at the crudeness of the characters, I suspect the coin is even older. Phoenician, maybe. They are one of my prime suspects.
Well, Daniel, our source just, like I said, came right in and said, we're getting warmer. You're getting closer, but a lot older. Keep watching. I'm going, oh, my lordy. What's the game show?
John.
Getting warmer. What kind of game show was it? The Price is Right? I don't know.
Yeah, yes. The Price is Right.
Is
yeah.
It, how much is this living room set? $1,200. Nope. Lower. Higher. How much is this coffee pot? $39.99. $12.99. No. $7.99. Lower. So, Daniel, we're older than 1,680 years old. So that's a little tidbit for you.
Now, Cindy is pointing out, recently Daniel put a map on that showed the island, Oak Island, connected to the mainland at one time.
Right.
And she says, on Daniel's display of the island, breaking away from the mainland, it was one island. So then it was one island, and she's right from what I could see.
Yeah, but the map's 1137 that was made.
Okay.
Am I saying the right things, Daniel? What am I saying here? Without looking at the map again, you know what I mean, guys?
Right, yeah.
They're saying 1137, the islands were separate.
Okay.
Oh, Ash, here we go. We got somebody new here. Hello, Ash. Can you read this or no? Judy, my voice is starting to.
Okay, it hasn't come up yet. I'm listening. These coins were mass produced by hand. Could be worn off center, strike, or small flan. All common. And again, my captions are covering that.
All common issues with these coins. There are at least 9 different mint varieties. Some of it's clearly a grass hut and a tree, and others look like just a tree. So don't get laser focused on the one example I gave. It's 100% this type of coin. Okay, Ash, keep us posted.
Yes.
Daniel says it wasn't an island until after 1400.
Okay. Thank you, Daniel.
Okay, so if the map was made 1147, in the planning stages. Here's our comedian. This guy cracks me up all the time, Judy. At first I said, well, should I have this guy on? I mean, he's always cracking me up, but I enjoy it. I don't know why, because it cuts to the chase. Listen to this one. Doug W. The coin is worn down from the Roman vending machines.
yep. Okay, Doug.
Oh, Doug, my main man, Doug. He's the first to the first thing I post up. He's the first one to say something. You know, I mean, no matter if I post it, you know, on YouTube, boom, he's right there. I post it 2 seconds later, boom. Oh, Doug, you crack me up. Oh, Daniel, we'll be connected to the mainland apparently, but who knows for certain? You're right, Daniel. As far as I know, Pirate, you know, with dot to dot, me, it's like a copy of a copy on a copy. So you really can't date the paper. You can't date the map because it's a copy of a copy. You know what I mean, guys? It's like handed down copies, you know?
Right, exactly. Well, that makes it hard.
Yeah. And that's what I'm thinking, you know, it's just handed down. And how are you going to get that dated? Or you got to go by what the script says and just try to prove it. You know what I mean? And there they are digging. They found some wood. I thought they were going to get some dates on that wood, Judy.
Right, yes. I hope it doesn't take long.
Yep, they're going to get some dates. And they're just showing that half a coin there. And you see, it's a third.
Boy, Sandy really knows his stuff, doesn't he?
Yep. Got to watch Daniel for updates. All right, guys. And then I'm going to post this one thing. And then, Judy, you'll say your goodbyes. And I'll say my goodbyes. And get out of here. This is the promo for next week. Are you guys ready?
We're ready.
This is what the war room Marty said, or something like, this is what I finally wanted to hear in the war room. Boom. This blob is the region where additional monitoring wells might help us solve the problem of where the high metals are coming from. So again, it is not the area where the metals are, but to solve the problem where the high metals are coming from.
Okay.
So I had to read that about 10 times.
I didn't catch it, so thank you.
Yep, Jeff, thank you. Please like, subscribe to the channel if you can. Please support if you can. Judy will be on with me next week, Wednesday, doing episode 10, The Blobber. I'll be on pre-show Tuesday, then later on Discord, post-show. And anything that comes up in between, I'll be posting it on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and those short little videos. Tommy, we don't know any direction of water yet. That's all we got is this blob on last night's promo that they need additional wells. Obviously, with the wells are dug, Judy, they will give all kinds of water samples there to where the high metals are coming from. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. You see where the garden shaft is. You see it, Judy?
Yes, clearly.
And a little third of it, it's already in the garden shaft. You see the red?
Yeah. shaft. That's what I was wondering. If it was right in the garden shaft.
Yeah, you can see the red part right in the garden shaft.
Yes.
And then it goes to the left that he says with those arrows leaks to and back to C1 and everything else.
Okay, gotcha.
So it is it is something. It's not the bingo by jingle, but at least it's something, guys. You know what I mean?
Right. Next week should be interesting.
Yep. And as they said, you know, second half of the shows are starting to pick up, and they were correct a mundo.
Yes. Thank goodness, yep. John, that they are.
Yep. And don't forget, you know, always look on the Friends of Oak Island and the Oak Island Tours for the actual official statements. I can tell you what I hear and what they tell me. So watch for that information. All right, Judy, if you want to say your goodbyes, I'm almost ready to lose my voice. I got a little bit left. So if you want to say your goodbyes, and I'll say my goodbyes and get out of here.
Okay, John. Hey, everybody, I did want you to know on a positive note that Tammy has arrived to be with her mom, and all is going well there right now. That's all I know. I want to thank you, everybody, for taking part tonight. I love it when you guys get in here and give your opinions so John and I can know what you're thinking. Have a good week, everybody. I will see you next Wednesday night. Enjoy Oak Island next Tuesday night. And in the meantime, please stay safe, everybody. Please. You too, John.
Okay, thank you, Judy. Fantastic job. Her synopsis will be posted on the Quest of Oak Island and in YouTube comment section. Thank you so much, Judy.
You're welcome, John. Good night, all.
Right. Well, guys.
Well, guys.
I want to thank you again for the 1 million views on YouTube. I can't thank you enough. Just keep on watching. I'll give you the best information that I have. The minute I hear it, you hear it. That's how we roll here. But remember, members, always go forward, right? That's what I always say. You may get a setback in your life, but just believe in yourself. You believe in your dreams, no matter how old you are, for tomorrow is a never given, never. This world is getting crazier by the second, so the world needs a ton of prayers by the tons. So as my friend Jan says, you got to be kind. You got to keep that smile going. You got to stay strong. You got to stay positive and stay safe. I want to thank you for joining me and Judy tonight. Like I said, we'll see a pre-show on Tuesday, episode 10. Judy will be with me the next night on Wednesday. Anything else that comes up, watch the groups. Again, thank you, everybody that participates. Thank you, all 1 million viewers. You guys are the best. This podcast does not run without you guys. Take care. See you later. And bye-bye.